Each year, I always ask you to turn in your Bibles to the third chapter of the book of Malachi. And you may think that's the only passage in the scripture that teaches tithing, and it is not. But it is the one passage that has most of the principles all together in one place, so that we don't have to go from passage to passage, but we can just open our Bibles and we can see all of these principles in one place in the Word of God. I was reading something this past week that back in 1899, there were more than 500 book titles compiled in a bibliography on tithing and systematic proportionate giving. Today, if you were to go to the Christian bookstores or the Christian internet sites that have books, you would discover there's almost nothing in writing. In fact, if you look out at the church at large, you can see that far too many pastors have let this just not happen. They don't teach it, they don't preach it, or if they do, it's in a moment of crisis when there is a tremendous need and they feel like it's the last resort, so they get up and they speak on giving. But the Word of God is so wonderfully, truthfully filled with these principles that not to teach them would be for me to be disobedient to the Lord and to rob you of a great blessing. So here in the book of Malachi, in the third chapter, we have these principles concerning giving to the Lord through the tithe. In verse 10 of the third chapter, we read, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." Now, the book of Malachi is an interesting book because it was written to the people of Israel shortly after they had returned from captivity. They had been sent into captivity for violating the law of God, and they had paid a dear price for 70 years. They were now returned to their homeland, and you would have thought that they would have been very careful to get their heads into the Old Testament law and make sure that they didn't make any wrong turns again, because the penalty was so great. I am constantly amazed, both in the Scripture and in my own life, at how easy it is for us to forget even the important lessons that God puts in our way. We think we've got it learned, and then all of a sudden we're back in a place of comfort and we forget. And the book of Malachi was written because the people of God had forgotten already what they supposedly had learned in the time of captivity. They had returned to their sinful ways. They were intermarrying with foreign nations, which was specifically forbidden by Almighty God. They had begun to play games with their worship. And so Malachi wrote this rather stinging letter to them to try to get them straightened out and to keep them from further judgment from the Lord. The one thing that we become aware of as we read from the book of Malachi is that tithing was a priority with God. It isn't something that we dreamed up in the church to finance the ministry. It is the priority of Almighty God. And it was a matter of a priority decision in the heart of every one of the Israelites, and should be with each of us. In the early pages of the book of Malachi, he takes his finger and points it at the people and says, "Here's what you people are doing. You're taking that which means nothing to you, and you're giving that to God instead of giving him that which belongs to him." In chapter 1, in verse 8 of the book of Malachi, we read these words, "When you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts?" In the 14th verse of the first chapter, he adds these words, "But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations." What was happening was the people were giving lip service to tithing. They were saying, "Yes, we're giving to God," but what they would do, since they tithed out of their flocks and their agriculture, they would go out into the flock and they would look for some sorry creature that had one foot in the grave, and they would say, "Well, there's God's lamb." And they would take that blemished creature and bring it to the sacrifice of the Lord. And Malachi the prophet says, you couldn't even get by with that in the government. The governor wouldn't let you do that. You bring that sick lamb and you give the worst that you have to God, and God is not going to put up with it. And he's going to judge you if you do that. That's the whole nature of this prophecy. You say, well, how do we do that? In our lives, if we are not careful, that's what we offer the Lord. We offer him the leftovers. We say, Lord, I believe in you and I believe in your work, and if I have anything left this month, I'm sure going to give some of it to you. We say that we're going to honor the Lord, and people ask us if we tithe, and there's such an interesting thought about that, because a lot of people think that tithing is just giving something to God. Do you tithe? Oh, yes, I put something in the offering. Well, if you don't put in 10% of what God has entrusted to you, don't use the word tithe, because the word tithe means 10%. That's what the word means. Somebody said, I tithe 5%. Well, that's an oxymoron. You can't do that. And what was going on in Israel sometimes goes on in our lives and in our churches. We say, Lord God, I believe in you, I want to honor you, and I will give you the dregs that are in the bottom of the cup. And what God wants, because this is a matter of priority with him, God wants the first fruits. He wants the best we have to offer. And this is not only true when it comes to our stewardship of money. God wants the best of our talent. He wants the best and the first of our efforts. He wants us to honor him as a God who is a great king. And you wouldn't bring some mangy creature to a great king. You would find the best you have and bring it to him. So tithing is a priority with God. And if we don't understand that from the very beginning, we will shove this to the side and we won't do it. We won't understand how important it is. If you continue to look into the Bible in the third chapter of Malachi, you'll discover that tithing is a means of proving God. Here in the 10th verse, we are told that we're to try God in this matter. Prove me now herewith, says the King James Version. If you will give your tithe to the Lord, you will prove me, you will test me. That's what happens when we tithe. We demonstrate that we believe God. Now, you cannot buy God's favor. You cannot give to God, and because you give to God, you won't be sick. I mean, I would be a terrible example if that were true. You can't give to God, and because you give to God, you won't have any trouble or difficulties in your life. But what he is saying is this: when you give to God and you trust him in the matter of your stewardship, God will demonstrate that he is faithful to you. And isn't there a wonderful way for us all to say amen? Hasn't God been faithful to us as we have trusted him and he has entrusted us with this stewardship? God is faithful. And that's the principle of proving him. You're sitting back there saying, well, I've never done this before, Pastor, and I'm not really sure if I can. Well, why don't you prove God? If God could say to us that he would care for us and he doesn't do it, then what do you want to have anything to do with him for? God is worthy of our trust, and we can put our trust in him. And in all the years that I've been teaching this, I've never had one person come up to me and say, Pastor Jeremiah, I tried to tithe. I said I was going to tithe, and I did it for this last year, and I need to tell you, it was the worst year of my life. Everything I tried failed. Every time I wanted to go in one direction, it was blocked. Now, I've had people say, when we started tithing, we were tested at first. How many of you can give a witness to that? Sometimes you're tempted not to do it. I remember that happened to us when we first got married. We got behind one time, and we got a little embarrassed about it before God, and we had to go borrow the money to get caught up, and we decided it wasn't worth getting behind anymore. But I have never had anyone say to me, what God said in his word about giving to him is a lie because it doesn't work. But I have had countless hundreds of people come and say, I never thought it would be possible. Pastor Jeremiah, you don't know how we deal with our money. I thought it was an impossibility, but I want to tell you something. When we began to do that in our family, God helped us to live on 90% far better than we ever lived on 100%. He stretched the 90 out so that we looked at each other at the end of each month and wondered, how is this happening? When you prove God, what you're saying is, I believe that what you've told me in your word is true, and now I'm going to do it, and I'm going to prove that it's true in my own life. I've been teaching and preaching for years that God's grace is sufficient when difficult times come. But I never had any difficult times. And then all of a sudden I had a few. And now I can tell you, I can testify to you that I have proven God in this manner. And that whatever you go through, whatever the difficulty of your life, God is sufficient for whatever it may be. I can testify to that from experience. I have proved it in my own life. I have tried it, and it has come true. So the matter of tithing is a means of proving God, according to Malachi. Then it's a method of provision by God. Notice what it says in verses 10 through 12. He says, if you bring your tithes into the storehouse, that God will open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now, do you believe that? That's what God says. God says that He will provide for us. And notice, first of all, a personal blessing. He's going to open up and pour out upon you. We're going to find out in a few moments that this thing about tithing is a one-on-one thing between you and God. God doesn't hold our church accountable as a church for what we give. When we get up to heaven at the judgment seat of Christ, He isn't going to say, okay, all you members, whoever went to Shadow Mountain Community Church, front and forward, we're going to find out how you did. He's not going to do that. Unfortunately, we can't take cover in the large group of people that are in Shadow Mountain Church. This whole thing about our giving is a matter of our personal relationship with Almighty God, and that means when He blesses, He's going to bless you individually. He's going to provide a material blessing. Verse 11 says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine caster fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. What does that mean? How many of you know when we get to heaven, we have a chance to sit down for a couple thousand years and review our lives with the Lord? He's going to say to us, do you remember when you were right there and you were going through that? Let me tell you what I was doing over here while you were going through that. Let me tell you how I was meeting your need, how I was providing for you. You know, when you look back on your life, you can even see some of those once in a while, but in eternity, we're going to see them all. How God has met our need and provided for us and kept us from going down this road where there was an accident or whatever. God provides for His own and cares for us when we put ourselves under His control. And then there will be a spiritual blessing. How many of you know that God wants to bless us spiritually? He is going to bless us spiritually. It says in verse 12, and all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land. In other words, God says, when you begin to do this, when you begin to trust me in this matter, people are going to see it and you're going to be blessed and you're going to know the blessing of God spiritually in your life. So this whole matter of giving and tithing is a method of provision by Almighty God. Then it's a means of personalizing God. Listen up. You know, we often like to think about God and His relationship with the church. And there are places in the New Testament where you see God and Christ in the churches. But the predominant influence and the predominant strength of the New Testament is one-on-one with God. We are each one of us accountable before God. And over again in the New Testament scriptures, what you find are personal singular pronouns. You don't find plural pronouns. You don't find corporate groups. You find personal, singular pronouns. And all of the accountability passages, that's what you find. You know, I'm the priest of my family. And in some respects, I will give an account for how I have led my family and directed them spiritually. But when it comes to standing before the Lord, all the members of my family are going to be on their own. Donna will have to stand before God, David and Cammie and Jennifer, and they're all going to have to stand before the Lord individually and give an account of what they personally have done with the principles of the Word of God. Let me show you what I mean. 1 Corinthians 16:2 says it this way, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. Galatians 6:6, let him that is taught in the Word communicate to him that teacheth in all good things. Notice the pronouns. 2 Corinthians 9:6, this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. And I have a dozen other passages like this from the New Testament. All of them have personal, singular pronouns, and they say that this whole matter of our giving is God, it's me and you, you and me. I'm before you individually. Now, you might look at that and say, you know, that's frightening to me, and I don't know that I want to be one-on-one with God. But the other side of that is, can you get into this, that when it comes to our giving, God is interested individually in us, and it personalizes God. He cares about my needs. He cares about my problems. He cares about the challenges I'm facing financially. And when I am faithful to Him, there's a sense in which through my giving, I get involved in a personal way with God as in no other way. It is through my personal involvement of accountability to God. And I stand before Him in that regard. I want you to note that tithing is a means of practicing godliness in our lives. You say, how do we do that? Well, you know, the best way I can say this to you is this. Why should I tithe? I can give you all the scriptures. I can tell you all the passages. But I can say it just as simply, as, and I can just cut right to the chase and say, here's the reason, because God said so. You know, if there's no other reason. It's not because the church has made this up as some method, but in the Bible, anybody who's going to be open-minded at all, who reads the scripture, is going to discover this has been God's plan. So God said, I should do this. Now, I've got a decision to make once that happens. Either I'm going to do it or I'm not. And if I decide to do what God tells me to do, then that is the illustration of what it means to be godly. Why do we use the term godly? To be godly is to be like God, or to do what God tells you to do. So I just have to settle this issue. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And once I get to that basic place, I don't argue with God anymore. I don't sit up thinking, well, isn't there some way? Maybe I could get by with 8. Maybe I could do 7 and then see what happens at the end of the year. No, God said 10. That's where he started, and that's where I need to start. And so since God says that's the way it should be, why don't I just cooperate with him and practice godliness? There's some things that I don't know exactly what to do, but when I read this in the scripture, I know what to do. I know where to start. Now, you don't want to get stuck there. Hopefully, you'll grow not only in your amount of giving, but in your percentage. But that's the line of demarcation where we get involved with God. And it's practicing godliness. You know, some people say, well, you know, I don't make that much, Pastor. It's not all that big a deal. That has nothing to do with it, does it? If I only made 10 cents and had to give God a penny, and that's what he's required of me, that's what I should do. And the fact of the matter is, most of us are going to be responsible for much more than we dream. I read a little statistic this week that for a man who works from age 25 to age 65 and makes $15,000 a year, we won't consider the value of his benefits or his interest earned or any pay raises or other possible sources of income like inheritance or Social Security. Even without all of these extras in his lifetime, this person of modest income by our standards, poverty income by our standards, will handle well over $500,000. And so when he stands before God someday, God's going to say, what'd you do with that $500,000 I gave you while you were down there on this earth? How'd you handle it? For most of you, you're doing the math right now and you're beginning to realize you've got a whole lot more responsibility than that. Doesn't that make you stop and think? Stewardship is not a matter of just whether I do the right thing today or tomorrow, but someday we're going to give an account of what we've done with all that God has put into our hands. And tithing is a means of practicing godliness in that regard. Let me give you the last principle. Tithing is a means of partnership in ministry. And I love this principle because right here it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. The people had the tithes, and they didn't keep them. They brought them into the storehouse, and they were brought together and collected so that collectively they were in partnership with what God was doing. Now, in the economy of Malachi's day, the priests and the Levites lived off of the tithes, and they were paid, and the temple and all of that was run through the ministry. God has given us all the opportunity to come together with our giving and be partners together in ministry. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, and especially to them who are of the household of faith. We're to minister in the church so that God takes what I bring and he takes what you bring and what you bring and what you bring, and it's all brought together. And through that, there is the ability for us to minister as a congregation and make an impact in this world in which we live. You say, well, I think I'll just keep my tithe, and when I see something that I want to do, I'll give a little bit to it. Well, if you do, you will never sense the incredible joy that comes from being involved in something far bigger than you could ever be yourself, and the joy of the impact that it makes. I get to be here in this building periodically through the week because of work that we do upstairs, or maybe there's a meeting here on campus. Inevitably, when I come over here, somebody's visiting our campus. We have visitors on this campus, not only on Sundays, but throughout the entire week, and they will come and say, could we see the auditorium? And they walk in the auditorium, and we're used to it. You know, we love this place. It's home to us. And they walk in here, and they kind of gasp. Oh. Or they'll stop in the lobby and look at the pictures on the wall and see all the missionaries back there, and they'll say, how many missionaries are there? Well, there's maybe 60 or 100, I don't know, a lot of them. Well, do you support them? Oh, yeah, we do. And I don't say that out of arrogance or pride. I'm saying you get a picture when you see that of what God enables us to do when we come together and we bring our tithes and our offerings to the Lord, and together we're able to reach out in ways we could never, ever reach out by ourselves. What an incredible thing that is. How blessed we are that God can use us as a congregation. You say, well, Pastor, how do I get involved? You just start. You know, when you don't know what God has told you to do, you can't be responsible for it, right? Maybe some of you, before you came to church here today, if you had died and stood before the Lord and He said, did you tithe? And you said, tithe? What's that? I didn't know I was supposed to tithe. But you can never say that again. I have ruined you. I have fixed you today. You say, well, what do I do? You know what? You got two choices, don't you? You either say, okay. Somebody say, well, you know what? I think I'm going to take this year and pray about it. No, don't do that. I'm praying that during this month, God will so work in your heart that if you haven't been committed to tithing, giving God 10% up front, writing His check before you write any others, giving to God first, I'm praying that if you haven't done that, that God will burden your heart and this will be the beginning of that adventure in your life. And that you will go home, if you're a couple, and you'll sit down, husband and wife, and talk about it. Now, don't you do this now. Sometimes, you know, guys are, you know, we're so cerebral and logical and all this stuff, you know, and so on the way home today, you know, you think this whole thing through. Well, Jeremiah talked about that. It makes sense to me. I guess I'll do it. And 3 months later, your wife wonders why there's no money, or why there's not as much money as she thought there was going to be, or where all the checks went to, and you haven't even talked with her about it. Talk with your wife. Talk with your husband. Pray together about what God would have you to do. And then do it with all of your heart, together as a team. And God will honor you. Some of you are single people, single parents. And, you know, I've always struggled with this part of what I want to say right now. But I can't struggle with it because God won't let me struggle with it. Does the Bible give us any indication that there are special circumstances where we don't follow His word? There may be days when you just don't have the ability to give anything at all, but every single one of us, whether we're single, whether we're married or divorced, whether we have original families or blended families or whatever our situation, we all before God must do that and wait and see if God won't keep His promise to us. I received this from someone here in our congregation, and it's a true story, and I want to use this as we conclude today. In 1987, wrote this man, I lost my job due to a sharp downturn in the economy. I went from a cushy white-collar sales job, company car, expense account, and all to nothing in a matter of 3 months. We all remember OPEC and their desire to drop oil prices to $8 per barrel and the resulting ripple effect felt across the country, but I digress. I was unemployed from October 1987 to May of 1988. I had a choice. Trust my instincts or trust God. I chose to trust God, and during this time I worked several part-time jobs and even collected and sold aluminum cans to supplement our income. My wife and I made a commitment to continue tithing and giving no matter how little we made. One Sunday, the pastor made an announcement that there was a family in need of food and asked the congregation to bring groceries to the church office on Monday and the church would deliver them. So my wife and I went to the grocery store after church and bought a canned ham and took it to the church on Monday. That evening I went to work, and about 6:30 my wife called me and was crying so hard that I could hardly understand her. The church had delivered 15 bags of groceries to our house, and sitting on top of one of the bags was the canned ham we had bought. Since that time, I can cite time after time when God supplied because my wife and I were faithful in our giving. I don't know your situation, but I do know from experience that God is faithful to His word. For my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You can trust God. He will keep His end if you will do what He's called you to do. So let's just pray that during this month, God will give us the courage and the obedience and the determination that no matter what, we're going to put God first in our lives, and it's going to be reflected in what we give and how we tithe. And for all of us who are already doing this because God has convicted us in some prior time in our life, let us affirm in our own hearts that what God has called us to do is the good way, and let us walk in that way in obedience to the Lord, and watch Him bless us personally, watch Him bless our families, and watch Him continue to bless the ministry of Shadow Mountain Community Church. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, thank You again for Your precious word and for the opportunity to teach it. And we ask You, Lord, to make this really come alive in our hearts. Go before each one of us and help us, Lord, to follow You and be obedient to You in every way. And if You're speaking to us about the matter of giving, Lord, help us to begin today, not tomorrow, not next week, but begin today to put things in order in our lives, that we might be obedient unto You and that we might sense Your blessing in our lives. And we give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.